The Fred Allen Show, scheduled especially at this time and rebroadcast exclusively for you men in the armed forces of the United States and your brothers in arms by the Special Service Division of the War Department, starring Fred Allen with Portland Hoffa and Al Goodman's orchestra.
Ladies and gentlemen, last week, a lady, after missing a question on a quiz program, received over 300,000 pennies in the mail. Tonight, we bring you a man with two bags under his eyes big enough to hold the lady's pennies. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Say, what was that excitement they had on Truth or Consequences last week, Jimmy? You said a lady missed a question, and the listener sent her in 300,000 pennies?
Yes, that's right, Fred.
Well, if Truth or Consequences can raise money that easily, Jimmy, all of the country's troubles are over.
Well, how do you mean, Fred?
Well, all we have to do to settle the national debt is to put Mr. Morgenthau on Truth or Consequences, let him miss a question. When the mail starts pouring in, Henry'll have more dough than he'll know what to do with.
Mr. Allen!
Of course you're there. Well, Portland, did you hear about the lady on Truth or Consequences?
Yes. Mama was on that program the week before.
Well, the week before, really? What happened?
Well, Mama missed her question, so for 10 minutes, she had to moo like a cow.
She had to moo like a cow? Did she get any mail?
Mama got letters from 20,000 butchers.
20,000 butchers? I know a fellow on a roundtable program. Right in the middle of a discussion, he sneezed.
He sneezed?
Uh-huh. The next day, he got 400,000 postcards with Gesundheit written on them.
That shows the power of radio, doesn't it?
Oh, boy, I'll say radio is a power. Did you know that on account of radio, the Russians had to slow down their advance this week?
Why?
Well, through some mix-up, the Russian army got 4 days ahead of H.B. Kaltenborn. Oh, there was an awful mess. The sponsor had Timoshenko on the carpet. Kaltenborn put his foot down, and the Russian army had to slow up until he read the commercial. Well, enough about radio, Portland. I've got to get down to Allen's Alley.
Oh, what is your question for tonight?
Well, this week, the OPA ruled that people eating in hotels and restaurants will not have to surrender their ration stamps to get food, you see? Now, the OPA says that dining out will be recognized as an uplift for morale. And so our question is, how do you feel about dining out? Does it affect your morale?
Shall we away to Allen's Alley?
Why not? Well, here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland.
No.
Mrs. Nussbaum.
You are expecting Becky Davis, maybe.
Well, tell me, Mrs. Nussbaum, how do you feel about eating out?
Who is eating out? I'm a dog, maybe.
Well, if you're eating at home, what are you doing about your morale?
This I'm keeping up by making patriotic dishes.
Patriotic? Well, how do you mean?
Spaghetti I'm calling Liberty Noodles.
Liberty Noodles, good.
Sauerkraut I'm calling Victory Cabbage.
Victory Cabbage, very good.
Hamburger I'm calling Meatballs Kosher Blanca. Saturdays I'm cooking bundles for blinches. Also, free French fried potatoes.
Free French fried potatoes.
Herring, I'm calling Uncle Salmon.
Uncle Salmon. Well, in summing up, Mrs. Nussbaum, would you say that dining out raises your morale?
Only if the other party is taking the check, thank you.
I see. Now, let's see who's here next door.
A welcome to you, hale and hearty. Falstaff is here, the life of the party.
Now, you haven't been up to more poems.
Have you heard, said the Pekingese, as it started to wheeze, I hope you'll excuse my asthma, please?
No, I haven't heard that.
Or, she called me darling Maxie till I made her pay for the taxi.
No.
You may be a lieutenant to those wax old girls, but you'll always be mother to me.
Now. You have decidedly done it again. Tonight we have been talking about dining out, raising morale.
Precisely why I am here. I have coined a dactyl.
What is your dining out poem called?
Dining out.
That's some switch, isn't it? Well, how does your poem go?
The OPA only yesterday put all food ration talk to rout, ruling an uplift for morale to be the act of dining out. Roosevelt and Churchill went out to dine. They dined at Casablanca. They both had several dinners there, complete from soup to sanka. They proved to all that dining out can raise the world's morale from the windswept hills of Kharkov to the shores of Guadalcanal. They served notice on Herr Hitler and his barbaric Nazi band that they too will soon be eating out of the United Nations hand.
Thank you. Thank you. As Falstaff folds his adverbs and prepares to steal away silently, we turn to welcome our singing guest, Tamara. Tamara's song is You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To. Mr. Goodman, meet Tamara.
You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire, while the breeze on high sings a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire. On the stars cheered by the winter, under an August moon burning above, you'd be paradise to come home to. You'd be so nice to come home to. You'd be so nice by the fire, while the breeze on high sings a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire. On the stars chilled by the winter, under an August moon burning above, you'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home to.
That was Just a Touch of Texas, played a little too long by Al Goodman, and 25 men Toscanini wouldn't be found dead in front of.
Isn't there any guest tonight?
Well, I had Thorndike Levitt booked tonight.
Thorndike Lebbitt?
Yes, he's a big picture star. In Random Harvest, Thorndike Lebbitt played the scarecrow, if you've seen the picture. Kept too much corn from getting into the picture.
And he isn't coming tonight?
No, he quit pictures. All of a sudden, Thorndike got a big job. He's running the Elizabeth Arden concession for the CIO. You know, Elizabeth Arden is putting out Riveter's goggles with built-in mascara. It's a big thing now.
Well, didn't you try to get a guest?
Well, I sent a wire to a little radio agent. His office is behind the weighing machine in that drugstore. You know, at 50... Say, see who's at the door, Portland. This may be Sidney now.
All right.
I got your telegram, Mr. Allen.
Yes, Sidney.
I can't find no actors, no place.
You couldn't find a single actor?
Well, I got one guy outside. He's okay for a stooge, but he ain't big enough for a guest star.
Well, I have to have a big name, Sid.
I know. This poor guy was a radio star once. He got a bad break. His career was ruined.
Really? Who is he?
Well, he's going under a consumed name.
Consumed name.
Bradley Ballantyne.
Bradley Ballantyne, huh?
His real name is Oscar Levant.
Oscar Levant? Why, Oscar Levant is a great musician.
He was a great musician. Today, he's a soldier of misfortune. A bum.
Oh. What? You didn't have to stress it, Sidney. Well, what... What happened, Sidney?
2 weeks ago tonight at Carnegie Hall, Oscar Levant played a concert with Jack Benny.
Uh-huh.
That's all, brother.
Now, look, Sid, I have to have a guest here tonight. Where is Oscar?
He's outside talking to himself. Nobody else will listen to him.
Well, look, Sid, I'm stuck. Can you bring him in? I'll see.
Sure, sure. Here he is, folks. Oscar Levant.
Gosh, Oscar, I wouldn't even know you. You look terrible.
You look beautiful.
Gosh, you're in worse shape than I thought, Oscar, old man. Tell me, what's the matter?
I can't eat, I can't sleep. Ever since that night at Carnegie, I keep hearing a voice.
A voice? What voice?
There it goes again. Listen.
The best students of all move to Carnegie Hall. Yes, the best students of all move to Carnegie Hall.
It goes on all day, all night. I'll go mad, mad. Do you hear? Mad.
Now, Oscar, Oscar, snap out of it. Look at me. I'm Fred Allen. Look at me.
Please. I just got over one shock.
Now, Oscar, we mustn't be upset. We mustn't go to itsy bitsy pieces.
You sound like an old kindergarten teacher I once killed in Syracuse.
But, Oscar, you can't let one...
Fred, for 20 years I lived on the wings of music, and in one night I was a dead duck.
I know, I know.
20 years of practice, practice, practice. I was starting to play with both hands.
Playing with both... You were right at the peak, and then...
Benny gave me the kiss of death.
Yes, he'll do it every time.
Musically... I'm through.
That's silly, Oscar. What makes you think you're finished in music?
Today I passed Sammy Kay on the street. He turned his head the other way.
Oh, look, Oscar.
I wish I was dead.
No, no, Oscar. You have got... You have got to master this phobia. When you go to a psychiatrist, he makes you speak freely. Now let's pretend that I am your psychiatrist. Tell me exactly what happened that night at Carnegie Hall.
First, the curtain went up.
Uh-huh.
Then, without warning, Benny stepped out on the stage with his violin.
Uh-huh. Was there any excitement?
There was a loud shriek in the back of the hall.
A music lover?
No, it was Deems Taylor. He fainted.
I see. And then you, as Benny's accompanist, stepped out?
Stepped out. I was pushed out by one of Benny's relatives.
Well, now you and Benny were there on the stage. Then what happened?
A fireman stepped out on the stage.
A fireman stepped out, yes?
The fireman announced Benny's number and pointed out all of the exits at the same time.
What was Benny's first selection?
He played the bee.
Yes?
Right after Benny finished the bee, the government took honey off the ration list.
It was bad, eh?
It was so bad, Rimsky and Korsakov split up.
Well, it must have been terrible.
Fred, you've heard a gypsy when he makes his violin cry.
Yes, Oscar.
Benny makes his violin sweat.
Well, tell me, how did the audience react?
A man going through the audience selling tar and feathers would have cleaned up.
Gad, you must have been humiliated, sitting there at the piano in front of all those irate people.
By this time, I wasn't sitting at the piano.
No?
I was inside, playing it like a harp.
But, well, no wonder you're musically unnerved, Oscar. What came next?
The manager of Carnegie Hall began beating his head against the wall. Benny mistook this for applause and started to play an encore. Love and Bloom.
Well, how did he make out?
Fred, if the Empire State Building converted to coal, the janitor couldn't hit that many clinkers.
Well, when Benny finished Love and Bloom...
He never finished. The last thing I heard was someone yelling, "Women and children first!" Then everything went black.
Well, tell me, what happened to you?
The next morning, they found me on 57th Street, throwing stones through Steinway's window.
No.
I'm through, Fred.
No, you can come back, Oscar. Why don't you be like Benny, happy-go-lucky? He comes, he smells, he leaves.
No, Fred. I'm through with music. I'm looking for some other kind of work.
Why, you still have your job on information, please.
How long can I last? Today, everything they play for me to identify sounds like Love and Bloom.
Gad, it must be terrible.
We lose more encyclopedias that way.
Well, you've got to do something, Oscar.
Yes, I've got to get a job. I have two little children. It may be years before they can support me.
Well, have you looked for anything yet?
Yes, I clipped out some help wanted ads. I've got them right here.
Oh, good. Let me see. Oh, here's a job. Man wanted to play shortstop for Brooklyn Dodgers. Must be in 4F.
That's okay, but it doesn't start till spring. I could starve by then.
Oh, well, look at this next column. Ah, there are plenty of jobs here. Look, steam fitters, plumbers, sand hogs, stevedores.
You've got the wrong column. That's for women.
Oh, women.
Maybe I can get a defense job.
Now, Oscar, let's face it. All you know is one profession. You have got to come back.
No, Fred. Musically, I'm done. Since that night, I can't tell Shostakovich's seventh from their Fuhrer's face.
Oscar, Benny's off-key rendition of Love and Bloom brought on this mental condition you have. Now, if you were to hear Love and Bloom played beautifully, your subconscious music neurosis would be adjusted.
But who can play Love and Bloom beautifully, Fred?
Well, I'll play it for you on my clarinet, Oscar.
Go ahead, Fred. So I'll go to Bellevue a week sooner.
Well, we'll surprise you. We'll surprise you, Oscar. Five of the boys in the band and I have a clarinet ensemble. Say, will you fellas come down? We're auditioning for a job at Hamburger Heaven tomorrow. They want all wind instruments at Hamburger Heaven on account of the onions, you see. With the five clarinets, we can play and air condition the place at the same time. Now, all right, boys, if you'll just wait till we'll hold my gum, too. I have to get my gum out. You can't play with it. Just to make sure this thing is warmed up here.
Thank you.
Well, Oscar, you see, I put a couple of squeals in there so people would know I was playing. I just played that in. Did our rendition of Love and Bloom have any effect on you?
Yes, Fred. I'm getting that old E-flat feeling again.
I knew it. You're back to normal, Oscar. Now you can return to the scene of your crime and prove your greatness.
Me? Alone? In Carnegie Hall?
Ah, not alone, Oscar, this time. I'll go with you.
You mean I'm to accompany you as I did Benny?
Why, yes.
Which way is Kaiser Shipyard?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Oscar. You just heard me play the clarinet. Why, I'm better than Benny on that squash racket he plays.
I know, but what can we play in Carnegie Hall?
We'll play the best tunes of all at Carnegie Hall, Oscar. Well, you know those little commercial jingles you hear on the air?
Pepsi Cola hits a spot, one of those?
Right. Now, for Carnegie Hall, all we have to do is make a symphony out of one of those little jingles. We'll get a sponsor and clean up.
Say, I've got a jingle that might make a symphony. You know, Rinso White,
Rinso White. Well, will my clarinet fit in?
The clarinet is the only instrument that can do that Rinso White effect.
Well, I don't want to hog the whole thing, Oscar.
Fred, you're the clarinetist. It's a clarinet part.
Ah, no, I want you at the piano, too, Oscar.
All right, I'll play a little background music.
Fine. Now, we're all set, Mr. Goodman, if you're ready. Ladies and gentlemen, Oscar Levant, assisted by Al Goodman's orchestra, presents the world's premier rendition of the symphonic jingle, El Rinso White.
Service Division of the War Department of the United States has presented the Fred Allen Show, scheduled at this time and rebroadcast exclusively for you men in the armed forces of the United Nations. Now, a special musical afterpiece arranged and prepared expressly for you servicemen. Here's the orchestra with the sort of music your letters express a preference for. Take it away. You have just heard a delayed broadcast scheduled expressly at this time for the Armed Forces of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America. This program has been a part of our English language shortwave service.